In 1900, there was not a single highway in the world for an automobile to travel over, and the average American traveled only 200 miles in a year. Today, he travels 10,000 miles in his own automobile. What has happened to revolutionize travel? I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz in the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. It was 5 minutes to midnight in the beautiful ancient city of Babylon. Perhaps there was a full moon to illuminate the lovely hanging gardens which constituted one of the wonders of the world. No doubt the night air was laden with the perfume of exotic flowers. Most of the city was wrapped in slumber, but from the very heart of the city came sounds of music and laughter. The palace of great King Belshazzar was bathed in lights. It was a night of feasting, and 1,000 lords of the kingdom were taking part in a God-defying drunken debauch. The king himself was leading out in the blasphemy against sacred things. Suddenly, at the very height of the hilarity, a sudden hush fell over the assembled multitude. Every eye was drawn to one spot by the door. Terror struck at every heart, and knees began to smite together, for a bloodless hand emerged and began to write upon the plaster of the wall. No one could read the strange characters. Suddenly someone remembered Daniel the prophet. A messenger was hurried away to call this man to come and see if he could tell them the meaning of the writing. Soon Daniel was standing in their midst, and he began to interpret for them what had been written. "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. This night thy kingdom is taken from thee." And as Daniel read to them, the enemy was coming in under the wall, and within an hour the king was and Babylon's glory had disappeared. That night of sin had turned into the hour of destruction. Today, friends, it's 5 minutes to midnight by God's great timepiece. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean that God is writing on the wall of our generation and telling us that destruction is approaching and that we must get ready for the end of all things. Somebody might say, well, I've heard that for years. I don't believe in all this calamity howling. I think we've got plenty of time left in this world. Well, I'm sure that's exactly the way Belshazzar thought as he looked at those mighty walls of Babylon. And by the way, they were 200 feet tall, 75 feet thick. No enemy could possibly breach those fortified walls. No one would be able to defeat that great city. Just as surely as God told Belshazzar that the end of his kingdom was near, so he's trying to tell us that the end of the world is also very, very near. You say, well, how will the warning be given to us? God spoke them to that great king, and he wrote it to all, but how's he going to speak to us and tell us how we should get ready? My friends, a warning will be given as Jesus described it in Matthew 24, verse 3. He gives us there a whole chapter in Matthew, telling exactly what signs would mark the approaching end of all things. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so Jesus then gave answer to those disciples who wanted to know about the end of things. And this is the same question people are asking today. And we would also say, "Lord, how can we know when it's near?" Jesus said, "I'll tell you how to understand. There'll be certain great fulfilling signs to let you know when my coming is near." He said, "You must watch for this event and that sign." And then he described in detail certain things that would have to take place near the very close of human history. Well, after giving a long list, Jesus said this, "Learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. And when you see all these things, know that my coming is near." Now, friends, what are some of those things that we should be looking for today? Are we actually seeing today, before our eyes, what Jesus spoke about, the final things? Let's observe for a moment. Notice Matthew 24, verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must pass, but the end is not yet." Now, somebody may say, well, we've always had wars. Every generation has had its share of conflict and violence and warfare. Yes, that's true. But notice that Jesus went on to say something more about the kind of warfare that would be taking place in the very last days. In verse 7, he said, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines," etc., etc. Now, friends, it's true that nations have been fighting each other in every age of the world's history, but there has not been any world involvement until in the last many years. In fact, Jesus indicated that local battles and conflicts would not be the major sign of His coming, but that His coming would be preceded by world wars. He said, "Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Now, we all know, of course, that the first world war actually took place back in 1914. 7/8 of the world was involved in that mighty conflict, and 10 million soldiers died, and it cost a total of $400 billion. But then, about 20 years later, more or less, another great war broke out, which cost four times as much as that first one. In fact, the cost of that one was so stupendous that we can hardly pronounce it, but it was four times more than World War I. But friends, was that the end of world wars? Of course not. We've had the Korean and the Vietnam and many other wars. And all of these, Jesus said, would take place. Look at Daniel 12:1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. There was a nation even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now what are we told in this text? It says that when the world comes to an end, there will be trouble such as never was seen before. Now some people think that things are going to get better, that the world will get more righteous, that people will improve and become morally better. That is a vast delusion. It will never happen. The Bible doesn't say anything about the world getting better and more righteous. It just speaks of men getting more wicked and God-defying as time goes along. Now, this says that at the time of the end, there will be great trouble. And put another text down with that. Revelation 11:18. "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they shall be judged." Now, do you notice that when the judgment takes place, when Jesus comes, there will be anger among the nations? Why, that's a headline in the morning newspaper, isn't it? We could have read it this very day out of the local newspaper, because the nations are angry. And these are things that must happen just prior to the coming of Christ. Violent death will be no stranger to this world in the days of the end. Notice in Luke 21, verse 11, and then 25 and 26, and this again is the teaching of the Master Himself. "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Why, this sounds almost like a commentary on today's news, doesn't it? We've heard of these calamities. This is the handwriting of God. He's writing on the wall of our generation and telling us to get ready, just as Belshazzar was warned of approaching doom to his kingdom. We've never heard of any more natural calamities and catastrophes than we're hearing about today, friends. Floods, hurricanes, cyclones, tornadoes, mudslides, volcanoes. Well, I just read recently that over 200 tornadoes every year occur right here in the United States. What about earthquakes? We've been hearing a lot about those recently. The British Association for the Advancement of Science has been keeping a record of destructive earthquakes for many years, for hundreds of years, in fact. And this is what they found. In the first century, there were 15 destructive earthquakes. In the 16th century, there were 253. In the 18th century, 640. In the 19th century, there were 2,119. But in the 20th century, there have been more already so far than in all the preceding centuries before, believe it or not. Well, let's turn now to another very interesting prophecy of the Bible found in Daniel 12, verse 4. "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Listen, are you seeing anything like the increase of knowledge and men running to and fro, as this text seems to indicate? Why, life has been revolutionized in the last 50 years. Almost every convenience of our modern life has come into existence since 1900. Even I can recall the excitement of the first electric line that was brought into our little town in North Carolina. Many of you who listen to my voice today may remember the first automobile you ever saw. 100 years ago, there was not a single highway in the world. In fact, in 1900, there was not a single highway in the world for an automobile to travel over. Few people had ever even seen a model of a car. There was no airplane, no aluminum for making a pot or a pan. This was going back, let's say now, to 100 years ago, 1860. Not even an electric appliance. Not even a typewriter. No bicycle, no radio, no telephone. Why, friends, not even a bicycle back there in 1860. You know, little children today have more knowledge than their grandparents gathered in their entire lifetime. In 1898, a very interesting thing happened. The United States battleship Charleston sailed into the island port of Guam and began to shell the old fort there. You see, the United States was at war with Spain. But the governor of the island didn't know that, so he sent his messenger up to give back a message by the little flag signals saying that he was sorry he could not return the salute. His powder was soaked, and he couldn't return it. He did not know that his government was at war with the United States because there was no communication. Now today, if something happens on one side of the world, in an electronic tick, it is flashed around the world to the other side. Well, these things are very interesting because they indicate that God is truly writing on the wall and that He is fulfilling prophecy and that the things predicted are now taking place. We need to understand that the midnight hour of this earth's history is approaching, and we've got to get ready. There's very little time left for us to make our preparation. Have you made your preparation, friends? Are you getting ready for things that have been predicted? God's Word never fails. Not one letter of it has failed. You can be sure it's going to happen because God does not make mistakes. Well, we're not finished with this subject, of course. We've just really introduced it. And in our next broadcast, we're going to continue and tell you even more amazing things that have happened in our modern day to indicate that we have such a little time left. Oh, I wish we had a lot more time. I wish we could take weeks even in talking about the events of our day that point to the closing up of human history. But we'll only be able to take a few days on it. But please be sure to tune into our next broadcast. I predict that you're going to be utterly surprised by some of the things the Bible teaches that you've never understood before in the light of current events. So I hope you'll keep listening to that. But right now, let's review briefly what we discovered today. We found out that knowledge is going to be increased, and that the increase of knowledge is also going to cause people to run back and forth and travel to and fro over the earth in a most remarkable way. And we have found that they're doing that very thing as they travel by car and train and ship and air. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.